So good morning to everyone. Good morning. I'm sorry for the light. I'm in a different room, but maybe in a few minutes I'll be able to move to my regular place. Maybe if I move here, it'll be a bit better. Let me see. Is this better?
Fine,
this might
fine.
be better. Okay.
Perfect.
Excellent. Excellent. So Chodesh Tov and a happy Hanukkah in that order. Tadir v'she'ino, tadir, tadir kodem. And what I wanted to speak to you about this morning is a topic that I believe comes up on Hanukkah, but ultimately is a topic throughout the year. As you know, my shiurim, I like to see not just a local issue, but rather how a specific issue in halacha actually is part of a general issue that we try to keep and fulfill and learn and enhance throughout the year. So one of those issues is the issue this morning of inducing more mitzvah. And I'll explain how I get to this through Hanukkah, which will lead us to the rest of the year. The Shulchan Aruch paskens as follows on the top of the source sheet. How many wrote Madlik? How many candles do you light on Hanukkah? So we all know at the end of the day, we machmir times three. Balayla harishon madlik echad mikan ve'elach mosif ve'holech. So on the first night, we light one candle. The second night, two candles, etc. Comes the Shulchan Aruch on the left side and says, "Afilu im rabim b'nei habayit lo yadliku yoter." The basic mitzvah is one Hanukkah menorah per home. So you have one Hanukkah menorah, and each night you add to its candles. And as everybody knows, the Ramah says that our minhag of Ashkenazim, Ramah talking about himself, of course, our minhag of Ashkenazim is different. And this is what the Ramah says. And some say, the simple minhag is that in the Ashkenazic communities, every single member of the home lights the menorah, not just one menorah per home, ner ish uveito, but rather every person in the house lights his own menorah. And just in case you think the Ramah didn't believe in this, later on in Hilchos Chanukah, as we go from Simon Tuf Resh Ayin Aleph to Simon Tuf Resh Ayin Zayin, says the Ramah, Vafilu himu etzel Yehudim baroei haneirot. Even if he happens to be on Hanukkah away from his home, and he's in a Jewish home, and he sees someone else's candles, and he's able to make that special bracha you make if you just see the candles, says the Ramah, that if he wants the machmir al hatzmo, so says the Ramah in a very nice way, each person can light their own menorah. Now, why is this problematic? In general, we like to encourage everyone, ever since Uncle Moshe came on the scene with his big mem on his kippah, to do mitzvot. So we love mitzvot. We love telling people to do more and more mitzvot, whether you stand on a street corner and give out tefillin to every single Jewish man with a pulse, or every Jewish woman, you give them Shabbos candles. Or if you don't do that, you encourage your kids, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your acquaintances to do mitzvot. So what could be the problem with the Ramah? Anybody, what could be the problem? Why is doing mitzvot not a good thing? Why would the Ramah be attacked in a minute in this year?
If with a bracha batala?
Why would it be a bracha lebatala, Bruce? That's a harsh word to say.
Right. I'm just throwing it out. If there's a question whether it should be on every member of the house rather than the house, then maybe it's unnecessary brachot.
Says Bruce, the basic mitzvah is near ish uveita, which means in each home you have one menorah. So if you have that menorah, and it was lit by a Jew above bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah age, because women are chayav in this mitzvah, what's your heter to now light another? It might be a bracha lebatala. The mitzvah was done. You know what it's like, says Bruce? What other mitzvah do we have on the home? A mitzvah on the home.
A mezuzah.
So if I put up a mezuzah on my doorpost, and I make the bracha and I put it up, and someone then say, I want to do the mitzvah, and he takes a second mezuzah and puts it up, the mitzvah was done. He can put up 25 mitzvahs. Maybe it's Baal Tosif, but assuming it's not Baal Tosif, if he made a bracha, it's a bracha levatala.
Yeah, but we put mezuzah on other buildings.
Pardon?
We put mezuzah on other places. We put mezuzah, even though it may not be required, we put mezuzah on a shul. We put mezuzah on your office.
Well, first of all, a shul is not required. And indeed, you don't put a mezuzah on a shul if you want to without a bracha. Here we're saying not only can you light a menorah in the home after the basic mitzvah was done, but make a bracha, and that's the minhag, and it's great. No one would say with regard to mezuzah, if you have a mezuzah up on that doorpost, put up another on that same doorpost. That's what's happening here. You have a menorah in that home, and you're saying light a few more. The question's clear?
So maybe the bracha should be different.
What should be the bracha?
Maybe it should only be the second bracha.
Birkat haroeh. Birkat haroeh is a very interesting sugya. However, birkat haroeh is made if you're not lighting your own menorah. And Birkat HaRoeh is made if you didn't fulfill your obligation via someone else. Here, if you're in the home and you see the menorah, even if you're not in the home, the halacha is, if someone's lighting in your home, you fulfilled your obligation. It's your home. So what's your head to light another menorah? I'm going to make it even more tangible in a moment. Not only is that true if you're home during candle lighting and you heard the brachos and you saw the menorah being lit. In other words, you were there at that moment when they fight. It's time to light. And everyone has something else to do when it's time to light. You haven't noticed that? The minute it's time to light, stars came out, time to light, or it's Shia. That's the moment that you have to now cook dinner, you have to answer a phone call, a WhatsApp needs to be returned, of course, above and beyond it all. You have to look at your phone. So, assuming you get past that and you light the menorah, one person, and you hear the brachos. The brachos are perfectly said, and you see it. What's your head turn out to do another? It's like putting up a mezuzah. The mezuzah was put up, finished. The mitzvah's done. What's your head now to go ahead and do another? But we're going to buttress it in a moment. Even if you're not home, you probably fulfilled your obligation. Birkat haroeh is if you didn't fulfill your obligation. It's a special bracha. But here, we're saying, no, each person's going to make the two brachas as if he didn't. Okay, yes, Bruce has his hand up and blocking his screen.
Bruce, so I think maybe, you want to put your maybe computer if you haven't
more down because we can see your face. Because all we see is your very, very, very warm wool hat.
Right? Maybe if you have
a haircut or something that you're wearing that hat and want to hide it.
It's always cold. Okay. So maybe if you have an adult child who lives in his room in your house, it's his room, he contributes some money to the household expenses. And yeah. Maybe he does have the obligation.
We're not talking about that case. Room. We're not talking about that case. We're talking about a house that's in your personal ownership. And because it's in your ownership, every member of the house is yotze with a member of the house lighting a menorah. So now we're not talking about a case where someone's renting in his own apartment. Think in the own home. Everybody knows. You see, don't believe, look on Facebook after this year or Instagram or any other place. Everyone puts up their menorahs and there's like 25 menorahs per home. It's not one menorah. What's the heter for everyone to light their own menorah? If the mitzvah was done. The mitzvah was done. The mezuzah was put up. Finished. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is it one per house because basically you only had one per in the Beit HaMikdash?
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know. The basic mitzvah was one per home to the extent that if you don't have a home, it's questionable if you can light in the middle of nowhere. So, to make a long story short, let's see the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah on this issue decided to say as follows, and I quote the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah has two points of view on this issue. And again, he's taking it into the general realm of mitzvah that we do. Right side. After Medina patur la'adlikim adlikim alav beveito, even though one menorah per house fulfills your obligation, as well as everyone else in that house, mikol makom yimratzal achmir al atzmo la'adlik ba'atzmo rashai, ubilvad yichaben b'machshavto od shat ha'adlika she'ino rotzo latet shel ishto u'mimele leit kan mishun bracha le'batola ve'kevan sh'no rotzo latet adlika tach al chiyuv hadlaka aleha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there's no question. What do you got to do? This is what you have to do. At the moment that a certain member of the home lights his menorah, or her menorah, you have to have in mind not to fulfill your obligation. You would like to fulfill your obligation with your menorah. And this happens all year. Anytime you want to do a mitzvah on your own, don't yotze with someone else. Have in mind to have negative kavanah. Negative kavanah means I do not want to be yotze. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein along these lines and says, this is true with regard to husband and wife and husband as well. With regard to Hanukkah candles, open parentheses, there is a very strange Mishnah Berurah that says, Ishto kegufo, that everyone in the house has to light the menorah, either by yotze with one menorah, each on their own, except the husband and wife. Because Ishto kegufo. Now that's a very innovative point of view of the Chafetz Chaim on this issue, because Ishto kegufo is a term in the Gemara with regard to one issue that I know of. What's the one issue in the Gemara of Ishto kegufo? Your wife is like you, is only with regard to Eidut. Namely, I can't testify, say, for my wife's sister's husband, my brother-in-law, because Ishto kegufo, it's like my own brother. From this perspective, has nothing to do with mitzvot. No one would say, oh, Ishto kegufo, Arthur ate the matzah, his wife doesn't have to eat the matzah on the Seder night. Ishto kegufo, Bruce prayed, he prayed for me, I don't need to pray myself. So it's a very innovative Mishnah Berurah, but a very accepted Mishnah Berurah. So from this perspective, even though in my own home, we each member lights, including my wife, there are homes that do this. So says the Rav Moshe Feinstein, says, of course, Rav Moshe Feinstein, a husband can light for the wife for the husband, but if she doesn't want to be yotze, no problem. Or he doesn't want to be yotze, have negative kavanah. So this is basically the answer to our question. How do we have so many menorahs? Simple. Every member of the household goes ahead, has negative kavanah, and because of that negative kavanah, each person can light on their own because they did not fulfill their obligation. Well, I'm going to put it another way. You could fulfill your obligation via the others in the house. You choose not to. But if you want to, no problem. If someone in the house is scared of fire, that's what he or she should do. If someone in the house is not home on time to light the menorah, he and she should say, they're lighting in my house, good enough. But if you want to light your own, you better have negative kavanah when someone else is lighting. However, the Mishnah Berurah on the left side poses the following. V'yesh min ha-poskim, and you see the poskim here in parentheses, shesburin, karet kazal patrua idel plakat ishnal lakol kamina lomar nirotelat. With respect, negative kavanah is in a case where you have a personal mitzvah to do. You have to make kiddush or havdalah. Here, there's no personal mitzvah. The mitzvah is on the home. One menorah per home. Ner ish uveito. Go together. And from this perspective, even if you have negative kavanah, it won't help. Why won't it help? Because the mitzvah was done. It's not a personal mitzvah on the gavra, on the person, on the human being. It's a mitzvah on the chefza, on the home. And the home did mitzvah. Even if you have negative kavanah, you don't want a yotze, you want to do it on your own. For example, your wife lights on time, but you come home at 8 o'clock in the evening and you don't like your wife, and you don't like the way she does her mitzvot, and you don't like the way she sings the brachot, it makes no difference. She did the mitzvah, done. The mezuzah was put up, finished. Says the Mishnah Berurah. 1 second, I want to finish the Mishnah Berurah and I'll take your question. Because many people allow it. He says it's better not to like. You should hear from someone else and answer, amen. Good enough. And, or he says, light at a different time than everyone else. namely, and I quote, "Yadlik nerotav o yireh lishaer lahadlik nerotav levarech lehem zman makodem shematekat ishto bebeito." But this happened to me 1 year. I was in England during Hanukkah, and I knew this Mishnah Berurah. So I said, on the one hand, I'm in a different country. On the other hand, we know the halacha. One menorah per home. In my house, they're lighting. I don't need to light. What should I do? So I had it in my mind. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to light before they light in my house. Then I got to England and bring my jet lag. I forgot. They're 2 hours behind. I can't pull this one off. It's only if you're at the same time. So let's say at the house, I'll tell them, light in 5 minutes. I'm going to light now. But on Erev Shabbos Hanukkah, I did do this because England, Shabbos comes in very early. And it somehow worked out that Plaga Mincha was before they lit in Israel. But other than that, there's the Mishnah Berurah, one menorah per home. You can't light if you feel like it. So answer Amen or light before them. But there's no way my negative kavana would work. Yes, Bruce.
Even according to all the opinions that say you certainly can have each person lighting in the home, even with those opinions, if you're visiting your brother-in-law, a Sephardi guy, and he doesn't hold like that, in his house, only he lights, is it wrong then to light your own menorah, you know, in the privacy of the room that you're staying at? Or say, you know what, to your wife, we're going to go by your brother this 1 year, and we're not going to light.
Well, on this issue, I have to say, I understand completely the homes that say we need to have one minhag per home, and we can't have five different people doing five different things. I'll tell you my opinion. In my home, we have pluralism. We all say nice nasev and ishma. We all say we surrender to the divine will and to the halacha. And after we say that, each person can do their own thing within the halacha. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Yes, thank you. First of all, let's take Shalosh Shudis. And Shalosh Shudis, there's four shitot. How do you fulfill Shalosh Shudis? Everyone agrees that you have to have a third meal on Shabbos, but no one agrees on the menu. One is you have to have Lechem Mishneh. The other is one challah is good enough. The third is Mizonot. The fourth is Minei Targima, even Shahakos. There's even a fifth opinion that says Divrei Torah. So in my home, everyone eats Shalosh Shudis. How they eat Shalosh Shudis? Pluralism. Namely, I have my Lechem Mishneh. My son, my eldest, I believe, has Lechem Mishneh. My younger children say, we don't do this Lechem Mishneh issue. Mizono, they eat a cookie. So that's the way we run our home. And we believe it's the right way. But I can fully understand people that say, no, a home has to have one minhag, so it won't be lotik godadu. I don't think it's lotik godadu. As long as everyone says we keep the halacha, it's not like one's a Reformed Jew, one's a conservative Jew, and one's an Orthodox Jew, and one's an atheist. Okay, we're all a happy family. No, we're all Orthodox. But within Orthodoxy, we can go ahead and have other shitot that are halachically legitimate shitot. That's the way we do it in our home. And we don't force our way to our children. The only thing we force is in the home. Torah and mitzvot dictates the way. But if there's another shita, go right ahead and do it. We do the same thing with regard to Shabbos morning. There's a diuk in the Rambam that you have to eat the second meal before chatzot. So usually in the summer, that's not even an issue, but in the winter, that could be an issue. Chatzot is very early. It could be 11:15, 11:30. So when we come home from shul, the first thing I do is I make kiddush and I take a lechem mishneh. Now, I don't eat the whole lunch, quote unquote, at that point. I may eat lunch as a shalosh shudis later. But my kids don't like that. They say, with due respect to your diuk in the Rambam, that's not the total halacha. So they don't do that. They have the lechem mishneh at lunch, and they'll have the shalosh shudis later. And from my perspective, it's 100% fine. What wouldn't be fine is if they wouldn't eat two meals on Shabbos day, because that's the halacha. I hope I explained myself, Bruce. Okay, Arthur, you had your hand up, or that was just...
Basically, you know, you're discussing the... Is this basically the discussion of the Sephardi versus Ashkenazi tradition? Because the Sephardi only light one menorah.
Yeah. Again, I don't like to say Sephardi Ashkenazi anymore because I don't like those party lines categories. Because ever since Rav Ovadia Yosef died, not all the Sephardim always, but now more pronounced, not always did they follow Rav Yosef Karo. And not all the Ashkenazim followed the Ramah religiously. So from this perspective,
this is the case with the Ashkenazim following the Rambam, and basically
Right. You're right.
And Svarim are filing the Tosfos.
That's right. That's one of those many, many exceptions to the rule. It's not often, but this is one of them. I don't go with the party lines. After all, we're living in Israel. The Ramah says to only duchen on Yontif. We duchen every day. And we can go on and on with examples. So I say Shulchan Aruch Ramah. Now, we just basically said that either it's one menorah per home, or if you want to obligate yourself, go ahead and light your own menorah. And we say it's problematic because it's bracha levatala, like putting up a mezuzah after a mezuzah was put up on the same doorpost. And we saw the Mishnah Berurah has two points of view. One is have negative kavana, and the second is that doesn't help because the mitzvah was done. So either you light earlier or you say amen to their bracha. So what are we talking about here? I'd like to give two explanations. As I started this year, any time in Jewish law you have any issue, you can give a local explanation or a general explanation. Local means forget about the rest of Jewish law. Forget about next week. Forget about the week before. This is Hanukkah. Hanukkah has its own rules and regulations locally. It's an exception to the rule. Or you could say Hanukkah is a general part of the rule. But let's first see the exception to the rule. Why would Hanukkah be different? Why on Hanukkah we would say induce mitzvah, forget about bracha levatala for a moment? Why? And the answer, I believe, is because Hanukkah in and of itself wasn't needed. What wasn't needed on Hanukkah? The war was obviously needed. But I'm not talking about the war. I'm talking about the miracle of the oil. Was it needed? Comes along the Pnei Yehoshua and asks the following question. And I quote, here's his question. You know, it's very strange. Kol Torah Chanes Lama. Why is it that we have to go out of our way for God to do this miracle? The Hakai Malan Tuma Hutra Bitzibur Bayu Yecholim Lahadlik B'Shem En Tameh. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, why did you need the miracle of the oil? That one little jug of oil that was tohor, you can light with tamei oil. Once everyone is tamei, you can light with tamei oil. The halacha is any mitzvah in the Beis Hamikdash, shizmano kavua, you can do with tamei, whatever. So from this perspective, why did they need the pure oil? It wasn't needed. They could have lit with tamei oil. Tuma, hutra, betzibur. The whole miracle wasn't needed. And says of Yehoshua, the miracle was not needed for halachic reasons, but rather it was needed for sociological, religious reasons. Says of Yehoshua, what did the Yevonim try to do at that time? They tried to basically limit Judaism and say God doesn't exist in your life. So don't wear special clothing on Shabbos and don't say Rosh Chodesh. Special limit God's presence in your house, in your life. When you do things, don't make a bracha before and after. Nothing. God doesn't exist in your life in general. Religion is a place you go to church once a week, twice a week, and you say goodbye, God, I'll see you later. So what did God have to do for us? He had to make a miracle to show my holy presence rests upon the Jews. What did he do? He made this miracle to make clear, I, God, am partners with the Jewish people, and therefore, because I'm partners with the Jewish people, I'm going out of my way to a miracle that's not even needed. They don't need to light with tahor oil, but I'm going to do it to show that my presence rests upon them. And therefore, says the Pnei Yehoshua, and I'm going to add to his words, because of this, on Hanukkah, what do? We want to show more and more and more that we're Jewish. How do we show it? The more menorahs, the better. How do we show it within the menorah? We don't just light one candle. We do mahadrin mina mahadrin. Just like God went out of his way to make a miracle not needed, we're going to go out of our way to do chumras on Hanukkah candles that are not needed. So from this perspective, you can locally say, forget about all year, bracha levatolas, whatever. On Hanukkah per se, we didn't need this miracle, but we induced this particular way of action to show God's presence is upon us. Just like God went out of our way, his way for us, needed in the oil miracle, So do we go out of our way? Mahadrin min a mahadrin, and each person lights their own menorah. So that's a local answer. From this perspective, the shir is over. Okay, Hanukkah is a time when we increase mitzvot. It's different from the rest of the year. It's very much like Simchas Torah. Why is Simchas Torah different from all other days of the year? Answer, we violate halacha, right, left, and center, and we all say it's for the Torah. So we violate the Torah, and we say it's for the Torah. Anyone know what I'm talking about? No one. You're all looking at me. Wow, Simchas Torah, wow, I don't violate halacha. Yes, you do. Let's start with the basic. Number one, when in God's name do you ever read the Torah at night? There's no chiyuv to read at night. You want to take out a Torah and read it? Gezinta hate. But who says with brachot? Before and after? Five aliyahs at night? Next, you ought to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You ought to dance. Shema Yitak and Kli Shir. You may fix a musical instrument. Third, during the day, we don't add aliyahs on Yom Tov. We add aliyahs Chabal al Hazman, which in and of itself is not a problem. You could add aliyahs. The problem begins is once you yotze, what allows you to say the brachot again and again and again? Should I go on? So Simchas Torah, so many things are done. And you look at the Ramah, you look at the classical poskim, they say, Hakol lichvod haTorah. It's like all bets are off. So take the same logic to Hanukkah. Okay, 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Hanukkah. Everybody ready? Here we go. Hanukkah is about God going out of his way for us to do a miracle. We go out of our way for God and we induce mitzvot even when we don't need it. So all through the year, someone says Kiddush, good enough. But on Hanukkah, one person lights a menorah, everyone's going to light a menorah. So that's a local answer. From this perspective, the shir is over. However, I would like to suggest it's a general issue that we do throughout the year. How come everyone lights their own menorah? Says the Magen Avraham, as we said earlier. Umishum bracha levatala leka kevan sheino rotza latzeit b'shel ishto mimei lechal chiyuva. Very simple. What do? We basically say, I don't want a yotze with your lighting, so I'm going to light on my own. That's a trick you can throw out all year, and it works. How do I know it works? Let's go through a few examples and see if it works. Let's start with Kiddush Friday night. How many people in their own homes have every single member say Kiddush? In every home I was in, with the exception of Chabad homes, one person says Kiddush for everyone. One person for everyone. It's called Shomeya Keone, and it works. But let's say son-in-law doesn't get along with father-in-law. And he eats up his pride, he takes a pill against nausea, and he goes to spend Shabbos with his in-laws. And he's sitting at that Friday night table looking at his father-in-law, and his father-in-law is looking at him, and the one thing they have in common is that they hate each other. So son-in-law says, I don't want to be yotze with this scum's Kiddush, because this guy's going to make Kiddush for me. Forget it. So can he make his own Kiddush after he heard his father-in-law's Kiddush or not? Answer, look at the source sheet. The im kiddush bebeito, b'shama shcheino, b'shulchan or aruch lefanav, yotzebo, b'kegon sh'niktaveh shomea latzeit u'mashmiya lahotzi. So Friday night, I'm in a different home, and I hear my neighbor's Kiddush. And I want to be Yotze, and he wants to be Motzi, that's good enough. As you can see, it's pretty easy to fulfill the Kiddush mitzvah. All you got to do is listen and have kavanah. Says the Mishnah Brura, and I quote, Beda, and you should know, Deshekechad motzi lechaveru yedei Kiddush, Mitzvah chavein lotziyo, v'ashomet mitzvah chavein lotziyo, v'chedin anachon, v'yaskir ba'albayt yivnei beito, v'yachavnu lotziyo. So says the Mishnah Brura, in order for Shomeya Keone to work, one Kiddush per home, before saying Kiddush, make an announcement like we do in shul before Megillah reading and before shofar blowing. Everyone should have kavanah latzeit to fulfill their obligation, and the person blowing the shofar or reading the Megillah should have kavanah lahotzi. That's what should be done Friday night. Let me ask you all a question. Have you ever seen this done? Have you ever seen this done? Baruch Hashem, I've been to many homes around the world, and I don't remember one home, one, where they said, all right, I'm about to make Kiddush, everyone have Kavanah Latzeit. I don't remember. I went through my mind going this year, all the homes I've been to Friday night, I don't remember this was done. And I have to be honest, all of them were more religious than me, which is not hard to do. They were all very frum people. And yet, no one did this. It wasn't in the art school sitter. It wasn't in the Horan sitter. It wasn't in the Birnbaum sitter. It wasn't even in the other sitters out there. I don't remember anyone doing this. Why? Why? And perhaps the answer could be found in the Mishpatzot Zahav of the Prima Gadim. Says the Prima Gadim Tzarich Iyun. Here is his particular quandary. And I hate to say this, this is not a quandary once in a while. This is every home I've been to. Misha shama kiddush me'acher. Ve'loni kachem latzei kachsama. Im rashai lachzor ve'lekadesh. Kemo bet ba'alei batim v'cheder echad. Ve'hu makom su'udato lididau. Or not. In other words, says the Prima Gadim, I'm at your home Friday night. I don't have kavana one way or another. Not negative kavana, not positive kavana. I'm just standing there. Okay? As we say in Yiddish, Ich bin du. Here I am. Finished. I'm doing nothing. I'm just standing here like a lachen cup. I have nothing in mind. Right? Is that good enough? He says it is a derabana on Friday night to make Kiddush over wine, according to Rav Rishonim. Does that work? And he comes to the following conclusion. And I quote, Lachen tov sheyichaven. It's better to have kavana. Alav hachi. You didn't have kavana. You just stood there. Shama stama. If you were there and you didn't have positive kavana, but on the other hand, you didn't have negative kavana, you probably fulfilled your obligation of Kiddush. So according to that, this is problematic Friday night that everyone should make their own Kiddush. I'm standing there. Friday night, I hear your Kiddush. I don't have anything negative against you or your Kiddush or your Hebrew or your sitter you're using or the bench you're holding. Don't have anything against you. Says the Prima Gadim, maybe you were Yotze. Who says mitzvot tzrichot kavana? That's an ongoing machlokas we never came to a good conclusion on. We paskin in general and derabanan shalom kavana. This is a derabanan. And therefore, if you daven Meir prior, this is a derabanan. According to Rav Rishonim, to make Kiddush over wine where you eat. Yotze. So, according to this, this would be problematic in our Hanukkah menorah. You do nothing, you're just standing there. You don't have negative kavana. Someone lights the menorah. Maybe you're Yotze. If you're Yotze, you can't light your own menorah. Therefore, Friday nights, any home I've been to, they say, would you like to make your own Kiddush? I always say, no, thank you, because this Prima Gadim is in my mind. Who says I'm allowed to make my own Kiddush? With due respect, how can I make my own Kiddush? I heard Kiddush. And even if I have no kavana, I'm Yotze. The only time I'm not Yotze, if I have negative kavana. You want to make your own Kiddush? And I say, sure. And the whole time the guy's making Kiddush, and he starts singing, the whole time, I don't want to be Yotze. I don't like the guy. I don't like his Hebrew. I don't like his Deacon. I don't like anything about him. Now, Shabbos morning, you can pull that off. One Berei Pri Hagefen, 2 seconds. But Friday night, that's a long Kiddush to have negative kavana. You have to have your mind the whole time saying, I can't stand the guy, in order to make your own Kiddush. So I always say no because of this. Yes, Arthur.
First off, you've heard Kiddush in a lot of places. You've heard Kiddush in shul. So now you're going home and making Kiddush.
Kiddush and shul.
Secondly, if you
shul, ask, 1 second.
You Kiddush have
shul
guessed,
is useless.
Have
it's guessed. Not Mekom Seuda. So therefore, the Kiddush and shul debate in and of itself, it doesn't help you. Doesn't help you one bit. Even if you heard the Hanukkah menorah lighting in shul, it doesn't help you. So that's already off the table. That's
okay. Secondly, if you have guests and you ask your guests, do you want to make Kiddush? You're not having kavanah. If he says yes, you're not having kavanah for him. So he's just heard a bracha that he has no kavanah for.
Right. Correct. However, he has to have negative kavanah when you make Kiddush. A, he has to have negative kavanah, which is hard to do. And B, even if you don't have kavana, to motzi him, as we say, even if you don't have kavanah to be motzi him, we just saw that in the rabbanans you may not need kavanah. Just for the mitzvah is good enough. But you don't need kavanah, not to motzi, not to yotze. It's good enough to say.
Yeah, but if someone wants to, but if someone says I'm going to make my own kiddush, he's not having kavanah with your kiddush, and you're not having in mind to be motzi him.
Again, so it's both people. There's a difference. If he has negative kavanah, then you're right. He has to make his own kiddush, and he can make his own kiddush. But if he has no kavanah one way or another, then it could very well be he was yotze, meaning neutral is yotze and derabanans. You don't need positive, and therefore it would be good enough. Understood? Neutral.
It's like hearing the chauffeur in the street.
Hearing the chauffeur in the street, according to the way we paskin, you need kavanah for chauffeur. Chauffeur is different. Not so with regard to kiddush. The way we paskin in derabanans. And therefore, if you have no kavanah, you're neutral. You're just standing there. It could very well be a yotze. And if you're yotze, what allows you to make kiddush afterwards? Only if you have negative kavanah would that work. So positive kavanah, kiddush is off the table. Neutral, nothing. Kiddush is off the table, according to the Prima Gadim. Negative kavanah would be the only way you can make your own kiddush. And again, try to pull that off. The guy the whole time is saying, I don't want a yotze. I don't want a yotze. I don't want a yotze. It's very difficult.
So if someone asks a guest if he wants to make kiddush, and the person says, yes, I do, so the person making the kiddush has to have negative kavanah.
So I said, if that's the way, I never asked the question for the reason I said. But if you want to ask the question, then you have to say, okay, have negative kavanah. That's a very not nice thing to say at a Shabbos table. You know, be harsh. Don't yotze with me. Have in mind.
It's not being harsh. It's allowing someone else to do the mitzvah himself.
Very nice. I'm saying it's problematic unless he has negative kavanah.
What about the person making the kiddush having negative kavanah?
May work, may not. May work, may not. I don't know. Again, I say may work because, yes, if he has negative kavanah the whole time, that's probably going to work. However, how are you going to pull that off? You say a long kiddush the whole time. You have to make sure, A, you say the words properly. B, you don't drop the cup of wine. C, the cup of wine doesn't dirty your white tablecloth. And D, you have negative kavanah. Pull that off at once. That's pretty problematic. I know women can multitask. My wife can multitask. Men have a problem multitasking. So from this perspective, multitasking may be too much. So here, one area in halacha where we have this. Second area, we finished our kiddush. Let's go on to Shehechiyanu on Yom Kippur night. Everybody knows after Kol Nidre, we say Shehechiyanu in honor of the holiday of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a sad day like Tisha B'Av. It's a happy day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive us, and we're like angels all day. We get the highest peak of the human ability spiritually. It says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to say Shehechiyanu, and the Mishnah Brura is quick to point out that the Tzipra should say Shehechiyanu. It's like Arthur said, each one should do his own mitzvah. But Tov Sheyemaharu L'Sayem HaBracha Kedei Sheyesayem HaShatz Yomru Amen. In other words, what does the Mishnah Brura tell us? If the Chazan goes Baruch Atah and he does his Shehechiyanu and you say Amen, what allows you now to make Shehechiyanu? You heard it. He said Amen. We paskin, you don't even have to say Amen to Bracha, except for Chazarat HaShatz in a few areas. It's good enough for you to hear it. So you heard the Bracha, and now you're going to add an Amen. It's like, says the Rambam, you made the Bracha. So you have no heter to make the Bracha on your own. So therefore, here, in the Sidurim, in the Machzorim, it does say, you should say your Bracha prior, and then answer Amen to the Bracha of the Chazan. But if you answer Amen, you can't go ahead and make your own Bracha. Just like in shuls, where they start davening at Birkot HaShachar. One of the beautiful things that came out of this terrible pandemic, and it's terrible, I don't like people saying it's not, it's terrible, but there's few positives. There's always a light in the dark tunnel, that Hanukkah teaches us, is the fact that I could see online davenings from throughout the world. They do Zoom minions, or they have 10 people in shul, but they Zoom it out, because only 10 can come in, or 12. I saw this morning a Zoom davening from Chutz La'aretz. Anyone know the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Israel when davening starts? The answer is, what do you start with, right, Arthur? Chutz La'aretz, many places, Birkas HaShachar. So, because this shir was on my mind, what happens if you go to shul The Chazan says, Baruch atah Hashem, Kerem Mecholah, Matam Lesech Mivina, Lachim V'yom Elah, but says, Amen. To all the 15 brachas, can you now make your own brachas? Absolutely not. You heard the bracha, you said Amen, finished. That's probably the reason they make the brachas. Everyone should be Yotze. So if you want to make your own brachas, you have to say it prior. You can't hear the Chazan's brachas and then say it. So from this perspective, it's the same thing with regard to the Shehecheyanu on Yom Kippur night. You want to be saying your own Shehecheyanu in honor of Yom Kippur? You better say it before the Chazan. If not, you lost it. So we mentioned Kiddush. We mentioned Shehecheyanu. Let's go on to a third issue. Third issue is Sfira. Sfira Sa'omer in shuls, I have to say, I think that shuls don't know what to do to make Sfira Ta'omer interesting. I don't know why you have to make it more interesting than it is. It's counting the days from Pesach to Shavuot. But let's be honest, it's not so exciting. So what do people do? They try to spruce it up. But what's the first thing we spruce up? Because if we just went ahead and said the bracha and Sfira, it would be boring. So what do? All of a sudden, all the Jews become Chassidim, and they say, Hinnei Muchan Umezuman. Hinnei Muchan Umezuman. And everyone sings that wonderful tune. And some people go more out of their way. They do a Ribono Shel Olam afterwards, which takes 15 minutes of a good Chazan's concerto. So we try to spruce up Sfira Sa'omer. One of the ways we spruce it up, the Chazan says the bracha, counts the Omer. Then everybody says the bracha and counts the Omer. Does anyone see a problem with that? Any problem? No problem, huh? Problem is, you just heard the bracha. What allows you to make your own bracha? You just heard the bracha from the Chazan. You said Amen. It's like you made the bracha on your own. So what allows you to make the bracha now? So comes along, once again, the Ramah says, Afilu ana amen abir kasa kahal, imayada atos shelo atse, yachzo v'yivarech v'yispor balayla. So once again, we see that with regard to Sfira Ta'omer, you have to have negative kavana during the time the Chazan makes the bracha in order for you to make your own bracha. Because if not, you can't make your own bracha. So we could see once again, that you have a situation where if there's a bracha being said, you have to have negative kavana. And unlike Kiddush, this is a 1 second, 2 second, 5 second deal. It's not so hard to have negative kavana. But if you don't have that negative kavana, it may be a problem. Unless you want to suggest the following. Because we got so used to making our own bracha, it's like a given that we're not yotze with the Chazan. We got so used to making our own bracha and sfira, we don't need to have negative kavana. It's a given. For 49 nights a year, we don't want to be yotze with the Chazan. How do we know that? Because we make our own bracha right afterwards. Well, if you want to assume that, then maybe you can suggest that you don't need the negative kavana per se. It's a given to have negative kavana. That could be, and we're about to see it now with the last example. When we mentioned Hanukkah candles, do you need to have negative kavana? Kiddush, Shehecheyanu on Yom Kippur night, and Sfira. Let's get to the last example, which is relevant to this particular day and this particular holiday. But you have a question, Arthur.
Yeah, on Sfira, if you hold like the Rambam, it's a biblical obligation, so maybe you should be making your own bracha.
Why?
Because maybe the person who's saying it out loud is only holding it to rabbinical. So it's a matter of kavana on his part.
Oh, you're saying if it's the oraisa, you need to have kavana, because only the rabbana doesn't have kavana.
Yeah, because Rambam holds that Sfirat the Omer is still a biblical obligation, as opposed to rabbinic, which is what other people hold.
Okay. You're right. The Rambam holds that Sfira is a biblical obligation. Most Rishonim disagree. So indeed, according to that, maybe you need Kavana and you need to have negative Kavana. So therefore, you would solve the problem because you didn't have Kavana when the Chazan said his bracha. Could very well be. That's part of what we just said.
Or the Chazan holds that it's only rabbinical and therefore his bracha is not going to be good enough for you.
All right, that's a hard one to put off. Okay, he says it's rabbinical. You say it's biblical. He says the bracha, it's the same bracha, the same words, the same nikud. But no, he's not Yotze because he has a different svara and halacha. That's a little bit chatshani for me. That's a little chatshani. Okay. That's like saying that if a chassan says that he has to give his wife the money in the ketubah midoraisa, and the Masada Kedushin says no, it's the rabbanan, and he writes the ketubah. So if Masada Kedushin wrote in the ketubah the chazel but didn't write the oraisa, maybe it's not a good ketubah for you. That's part of the general issue, Barther, you probably know of. If a non-bar mitzvah boy counted Sfira, the next day he becomes bar mitzvah during Sfira, does he stop counting? Because until now, he wasn't obligated. Now he's obligated. Maybe he's obligated. So yesterday was Rabbanan. That's part of that particular debate. Okay, you should know that Rav Menashe Klein, in his Shut Mishneh Halachot, that many people don't like, and they call it Meshaneh Halachot, but Allah of Menashe Klein has this question, answers it, and then he says he thinks the whole question is bogus. Okay? If you want to be machmir on this issue, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have told us, don't have kids during Sfira Sa'omer. But we have to live normally, and normally means if a boy counted Sfira the first night to the seventh night, on the eighth night he became bar mitzvah, he continues. That's the end of his tshuva. Beautiful tshuva. All right. I want to get to the last issue, and that is Hallel. We said Hallel this morning in honor of Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, the question is, if you davened in a minyan today with this terrible weather, and the chazan said the bracha, what's usually done? And everyone says the bracha. Is that a good idea? Says Rav Soloveitch, terrible idea? The chazan said the bracha. You said amen. What allows you to make the bracha now? Says Rav Soloveitch, and I quote, in the name, in his name, from Rav Herschel Schechter, says Rav Soloveitchik that when you go to shul on any of the days you say Hallel, you have to say the bracha with the chazan. So what's done in shul is wrong. Where the chazan says the bracha, we say amen, and then we say our bracha. The bracha levatala. You want to do? Want to say your own bracha? Say it with the chazan. I personally do that. I don't see anything wrong with it. It even saves time in shul. Saves those 5 seconds. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says on the left side of the page, you don't need to do that. He says that when, just like Sfira, when the chazan makes the bracha on Hallel, it's like a given to all the populace, all the assemblage, that you don't want to be yotze. After all, everyone hears the bracha every time Hallel is said and says his own bracha. So it's like an assumption that you don't want to be yotze. So you don't need to do that. You can say the bracha afterwards, and it's good enough. And once again, we see that inducing mitzvot is not always a positive. It could definitely violate bracha levatala. And we saw many examples today above and beyond Hanukkah candles. So we could have ended the year saying Hanukkah is different. We want to show we do more mitzvot because the Yevanim try to take away mitzvot. And that would be the end. Just like Simchas Torah is different. Don't bother me with the halacha, Rabbi. Simchas Torah, Rabbi's butt out. They have a whole shir on Simchas Torah, Rabbi's butt out. That's my shir. Simchas Torah, don't bother me with the halacha. Don't mix me up with the facts. Hanukkah is very similar. Or Hanukkah's part of a general rule. If I want to do my own mitzvah, do I have to have negative kavana when you do it? Is neutral kavana, namely, I don't think one way or another good enough? Is it all right different from a derabanan? Some examples from Kiddush to Shechianu, the Sfira to the Bracha on Hallel today, that Hanukkah's part of a general rule. It's not its own little bubble within halacha. And I have to be honest with everyone around this table. I've tried many times to go ahead and say that a specific halachic phenomenon is part of a general halachic behavior. It's not limited only to that area. And that's what Torah is all about, trying to influence us in general. And therefore, even though we saw a localized halacha today regarding Hanukkah candles, it's part of a general rule. When someone's doing a mitzvah and they're doing it properly and I hear it and see it, can I now do it on my own or not? And ultimately, anytime you have this question, this source sheet, these sources, you don't need my source sheet, these sources will be very, very relevant. If a person wants to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah after he heard shofar, can he do it or not? And with a bracha. If a person wants to go ahead and put up another mezuzah, if a person wants to go ahead and make his own kiddush, as we saw, these questions will become relevant. Wishing everyone a happy and good Chodesh and a happy Hanukkah and the Ezrat Hashem. We should have the Sorel Tovot. The vaccine should work and we should be able to get back to the new normal much sooner than later. Rabbi Zef, one for the record, but finish exactly on time.